everybody. Welcome to another What the Hell episode.
I got doozies.
Me too. If you have a variety of What the Hell, which is our version of ridiculous and stupid criminals, crimes, or laws, if you have a version of it that you would like us to do, let us know. Let us know, because we love a variety on this particular thing. And we were just talking about our Friday episode this week is the Chucky franchise. And for those of you who maybe only come for the true crime, I would like you to know that even if you don't watch horror movies, we talk a lot of shit in those episodes about movies, about books, but also a lot about psychology as well. So even if you're not into the horror genre, we've been branching out, talking about other types of films. And also just, we talk a lot of psychology too. So you might enjoy it. You never know.
You never know.
Open your heart. All right. So you want to go first with the, okay. What the hell?
Man kills imaginary best friend.
Oh, how sad.
Jacksonville, Florida.
How lonely.
Well, he, okay. Jeff Gaylord, 37, entered the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office earlier today and turned himself in for killing his imaginary friend, Mr. Happy. God. Gaylord told officers he had stabbed Mr. Happy repeatedly with a kitchen knife, cut up the body with a hatchet, and buried the victim in his backyard. A remorseful Gaylord told officers he wanted the death penalty for his crime, preferably right now.
Is there a body?
Gaylord said he killed his imaginary friend of 7 years. 7 years. I mean, it's a long friendship.
I mean,
for multiple reasons. One, for being messy. This is what he says. His room was a mess all the time with his toys and dolls, Taylor told the police. He left his empty vodka bottles all over the kitchen. He never picked up his empty cocaine baggies, and he left the toilet seat down when he peed. He messed up my apartment to the point where I just couldn't get it clean. He called him Hap. Before Hap started doing drugs and acting weird, he was my BFF. We'd go dancing, play on the children's park equipment. Both huge fans of doom metal. We listened to it for hours with the lights turned off.
Oh.
Gaylord said he and Mr. Happy had grown very unhappy in their relationship and hadn't had a real conversation in at least a year. The breaking point came when Mr. Happy allegedly crashed Mr. Gaylord's Nissan Altima after the friends had been out celebrating.
That'll do it.
They'd been out celebrating Mr. Happy's birthday at Hooters, which resulted in Mr. Gaylord being arrested instead of Mr. Happy. Now he's pissed. Yeah. The wrong person was arrested.
This is like a Chucky movie.
He says this. That drunk driving incident I got unfairly blamed for, and just how messy he had become put me over the edge, and I murdered him, Mr. Gaylord told police. It was an overreaction. I should have listened to the neighbor lady and got us into counseling, but no, I did the unthinkable and I killed my best friend. I'm a terrible person. I need to be punished. Police said that Gaylord was extremely intoxicated and threatened to kill the police after they told him they could not give him the death penalty for his crime. Police took Gaylord into custody and obtained a search warrant for his house, where they found drug paraphernalia and a machine gun. Gaylord was booked on multiple charges. Bail has not been set. I don't think they found a body for Mr. Happy.
Poor Hap.
Hap.
I feel like he did nothing wrong. Except be...
Here's my favorite part.
Imaginary.
My favorite part is when he said, that drunk driving accident I got unfairly blamed for and just how messy he had become put me over the edge and I murdered him. And they hadn't had a real conversation in over a year.
That's my favorite part. We had become so distant in our relationship that I murdered him.
Oh, God. And then he wanted the death penalty right there.
And that the fucker has a nickname.
Hap.
And Mr. Happy, I'm sorry, but that's something people name their private parts. And so I was not, numb to that. And then he calls him Hap. Oh my God. Oh, okay. Well, moving on, I guess. How sad. I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. I really want there to be a follow-up story. So Paul Lawman, which, you know, this is an unfortunate name. Paul Lawman tried to hold up a hotel using a twig. I don't know.
Wait a minute.
Think
like,
about it.
Like, was the, hold up a hotel.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like he was trying to support it, like a support
okay,
beam.
What are we talking about?
I was, because both are ridiculous, but one makes a little bit more sense. Just, okay. Anyway, go on.
The villain put the stick inside a carrier bag to try and make it look like a gun. But the genius was rumbled when the brave manager of the Premier Inn at Stockport, Greater Manchester, this is in the UK, grappled with him and his quote unquote weapon was revealed. So the guy was like, the guy tumbled with him, which is good. Like,
he felt the twig in the bag.
Yeah. He's like, is that your twig or? Oh,
I broke my back and your stick.
Mr. Happy.
Mr. Happy.
It's broken. Lawman had 96 previous offenses and was jailed for 96 previous. Oh my God. Sorry. Like, I'm just imagining, you know, his closet full of twigs that he uses in this.
Oh my Robert's. God. He's like, which twig should I pull out today?
I think I'll go with a brown
twig. This one's from 1984.
Today.
It may need a little water.
I think a long twig today.
Yeah.
He was jailed for 4 years after admitting attempted robbery and possessing an imitation firearm.
Can it even be classified as that?
Apparently.
Listen, it was very close.
I threatened him with a twig. I think in this country, if you don't use a gun, you get a lesser sentence. So that's why people use twigs and their finger in their pockets.
Well, Gaylord had a machine gun. He just had an imaginary friend. He had a real gun.
Drugs, a machine gun, and God. Hap.
And a Nissan Altima. Oh, fuck.
A bag snatcher. Okay, here's another one. I'm just going to go into another one because these are short. A bag snatcher fell over just moments after mugging a woman.
Like he collapsed, like he tripped.
Can you imagine you just trip and you're like,
ow!
Whoops. Okay, the culprit was left so dazed by his trip that the victim's friend was able to jump on him and restrain him until police arrived.
Oh, Christ.
Someone steals your bag and then just like does a Monty Python trip on the sidewalk, and then the friend jumps on. Kathy then jumped on the guy.
Yeah.
And held him down until the cops came.
Yeah.
Adam Harrison plunged more than 40 feet while swiping. Sorry.
Plunged.
Plunged 40 feet.
That's far.
I know.
Like,
I
what know. Did he trip on? Jesus, dude.
Okay. Anyway, that was it. It made me laugh so hard because I just imagined, like, you're stealing this bag and you're like Johnny on the spot. I'm the best criminal ever. And then you just, like, trip over your own feet.
Oh, my God.
Running away. Okay, I'm done.
I wonder what the lady thought. Like, did she just look at him like, you idiot? You know, like, what just happened?
The friend jumped on him and held him
down. I know, but
down.
Imagine what she was probably like, okay, just give me my bag back now. Was that worth it?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, you're an idiot. I hope he got some scrapes.
This one's called Ebola and Your Heroin.
Oh.
A Central Texas woman is behind bars on a drug possession charge after responding to a fake news alert claiming that drug supplies in the region have been contaminated by the deadly Ebola virus. Chastity Eugenia Hobson, 29, was arrested Thursday and charged with possession of less than 1 gram of a controlled substance, according to Burnett County jail records. Hobson was responding to a Facebook post from the Granite Shoals Police Department that said, supplies of methamphetamine and heroin in the region have possibly been contaminated with Ebola, police announced Thursday. If you have recently purchased meth or heroin in Central Texas, please take it to the local police or sheriff department so it can be screened with a special device, the fake news story published. Do not use it until it has been properly checked for possible Ebola contamination. The post received more than 1,290 shares on Facebook and more than 200 comments. 2 days later, the department announced that the officers had their first concerned citizen respond to the post office. Officers then gladly took the item for further testing.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a bright one.
Can you check this for Ebola? I wanted to shoot it up later.
It's whatever they cut it with.
Chastity, Eugenia.
Yeah. So Stephen Thornley spent 2 months in the hospital requiring skin grafts after setting himself alight whilst trying to torch a car. They do this from time to time, our criminals. They light themselves on fire. He then lied to the police and claimed he'd been burnt by kidnappers after being abducted near his home in Greater Manchester. No, I was abducted and set on fire.
So,
I'm just saying, that's all you really need to know.
That, so, but I'm just trying to think of like that whole narrative of I was set on fire, I got away okay. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Please help. Please fix my burns. And by the way, I am burned not because I set a car on fire and accidentally lit my whole body on fire because I'm a dumbass, but because I was kidnapped. And then I have been abducted by my home and set on fire. Oh, my God.
Okay, this is four farts that led to arrests. Oh. And, you know, if it ain't poop, farts, or masturbation, it ain't what the hell.
It's not a what the hell okay. episode, so thank you very much.
I just want to say these are actually quite aggressive.
Okay,
here's the first one.
I shouldn't laugh then.
Farts, putting the fun into fundamental human rights. Here's the first one. In 2020, an Austrian man arrested in a park allegedly deliberately lifted one ass cheek from the bench he was sitting on fart at police. He argued it fell under his human right to freedom of expression. Number two, a cavity search. In 2019, a Scotsman arrested on suspicion of driving while high was ordered to perform 75 hours of community service after repeatedly farting during a strip search. He followed. No, it gets funnier.
I mean,
he followed each fart with the excellent phrase, "How do you like that?"
Oh my God! How fun! Oh geez, I bet they were not.
How do you like that?
Oh my God!
How do you like that?
I bet they didn't find it funny.
Rest his ass, too, and the rest of them.
I bet they did not.
The third
find
one is called The Fart Next Door.
Oh, Jesus.
In May 2023, a British man, mind you, this is all Europe, okay? A British man whose farts woke his neighbor was sentenced to community service. Okay, before I even read the rest of this paragraph, how fucking loud?
Right? To wake your neighbor.
Even if it's an apartment.
Like, what kind of neighbor are we talking about?
When confronted about the farts, he would shine a flashlight into his neighbor's eyes and threaten to smash his head through the fucking floor.
Wow. Yeah. Aggressive.
Told you. This one's called Short Shorts, Poo Poo Poo, Who Wears Short Shorts?
Oh, no. Just no.
Again, in 2016, a British man was charged with cruelty after farting in a 12-year-old's face while wearing shorts and saying he did so, quote, because he wanted to be nasty. He also punched the child, which is way less funny. So he farts the kid's face because he wanted to be nasty.
Oh, my God. Because he wanted to be nasty.
And then he pushes.
What is happening?
What motivates people?
I can't even breathe.
What motivates people to do this shit?
Shit.
Oh, God.
Because I wanted to be nasty.
I wanted to be nasty. Bam!
Fuck. Don't punch children after shitting on them. What are you doing? Okay. Oh, she's okay. Like, okay.
Oh, God. Okay.
After bursting in... Wait, hold on. I lost my place from that.
I'm laughing so hard right now.
After bursting in, a machete-wielding thief's trousers slipped down, revealing his underwear. As he tried to run off, he tripped over them and dropped all the cash and his knife.
Oh, God.
He spent the next minute trying to retrieve them before fleeing red-faced.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So, the tripping kills me because we can all trip, right? So it's just like really human to trip.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh. All right. Forging currency can be an intricate business. However, one low-rent con man simply photocopied two sides of a 20-pound note before stapling them together in a bid to swindle drinks from a bar.
Oh, my God.
A senior officer said, "This is probably the worst forgery we've ever seen." I mean, you could just photocopy your money and then staple it together. Yeah. I imagine everyone
that gets would you real far.
Believe that. Yeah. Nothing says drunk like stapled together
Stapling
money.
Stapling money. Oh, my God. All right. So I have some 911 dispatchers revealing the petty and stupid reasons people have actually called 911.
Oh, my God. I can only imagine. Holy shit.
Here's number one. I've had a woman call emergency because their sister was refusing to share their food at a cinema. She won't share popcorn. I need a sip of Pepsi. Number two, my mother was a 911 dispatcher. One of my favorite stories was a woman who called and reported that a turtle is on my porch and I don't know what to do.
A turtle?
Yeah.
Oh.
A turtle's on my porch.
What should I do?
I don't know what to do.
And they said, call animal control. Yeah.
Or if it's tiny, just leave it alone.
Right.
Number three.
Give it some grass. I don't know. Oh, lettuce? I don't know.
A female customer once called the cops on my coworkers for scaring her too much. We work at a haunted house.
Ah! Ba-dum-bum.
As a paramedic, I have responded to the same guy's house twice to find his phone charger. I can't charge my phone. Well, you're probably using the battery by calling 911. My coworker answered a call asking how badly the bridge was backed up as they had diarrhea.
Oh.
Yeah. Do I get on the bridge?
Oh.
How long is it going to take? I'm going to shit my pants.
I mean, we've all had that
experience. Punch a child in the face.
We've all had that experience where we're in the car and something's going to happen, but like 911, really?
No. It's probably the same person that punched the 12-year-old in the face. Oh, my God. So a girl called police because she could hear someone yelling, "Steve!" very loudly outside and was worried for Steve. She called back and stated that it turned out just to be a motorcycle engine.
Oh, my God. What a dumbass.
And then we had heavy wind, so someone called 911 to report that their lawn chair blew over. I don't know what to do. It's not on its legs. Do I touch it? Is it okay to touch it?
It could be dangerous.
Can I move it? Do you guys need to take pictures? You need forensic? What the fuck? And you could look at, maybe a couple of these are fake, but you know some of these are real.
You know some of these are real. I used to work on a mental health crisis line, so I understand that people call for crazy shit. And I don't mean crazy in the, you know, colloquial way. So a teenager who mugged a man of his designer jacket, which was later found hanging in his wardrobe, was spared jail in order to pay the victim £250 compensation so he can buy a new one. Scaffolder Calvin Smith, 19, confronted the victim and menacingly demanded, "Give me your coat and you'll live." before punching him in the face.
What is it with the punching in the face?
He's like, give me your coat. And then he punches him in the face.
That's something out of a movie.
I know.
Jesus.
And then he ripped the Trapster puffer jacket from the man, who he actually knew. Like, they know each other, before fleeing on the back of a motorbike. When arrested 2 weeks later, it took him 2 weeks.
Christ.
Police found the black coat in the wardrobe at his home. But despite being told that he could not complain if he was locked up, he was handed a suspended sentence, which allowed him 4 months to compensate the victim. So he just had to pay for a new jacket.
My God. Oh, fucking weirdo. People are so weird. Their reactions to the...
Give me your coat. Live.
All right, here's my last one. Okay. Florida man parties with flaca. I'll get there.
Oh.
In a bizarre twist of events, a Florida man decided that the best way to reconnect with his old friends was to break into jail.
Oh.
And here's the wild tale. So Patrick Remp, back in 2015, a 24-year-old Floridian, was allegedly high on the synthetic drug flaca when he hatched his unconventional plan. His mission? To visit his buddies who were incarcerated at the Indian River County Jail.
Oh, he's just going on a visit, Kat.
Yeah, here's two. The break-in. Armed with determination and perhaps a dash of flaca-induced courage, Patrick rammed his car into the jail's front door.
Oh.
But that wasn't enough. Undeterred, he then attempted to climb a fence to gain entry. Unfortunately for Patrick, the razor wire on the fence had other ideas. Tangled in razor wire.
Oh, no.
Patrick got tangled in the fence's razor wire, which led to his swift arrest. The sheriff's office apprehended him and treated his injuries. His reason? He just wanted to visit friends who were in the jail.
Yeah, I mean.
Costly reunion. Patrick's escapade left a mark, both literally and figuratively. The damage to the jail was estimated to be at least $5,000. Even if he had successfully scaled the fence, which there's barbed wire in jails and prisons,
yeah,
he would have faced another obstacle, a locked door separating him from his incarcerated pals, because, as you know, the doors would be locked.
Yeah.
Charges and bond. Patrick's flaca-fueled adventure resulted in a laundry list of charges, including aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer, battery on a law enforcement officer, felony criminal mischief, leaving the scene of a crash with property damage, and driving under the influence. So there you have it. A Florida man's unconventional quest for friendship leads him straight to the jailhouse door. And as they say, when life gives you a razor wire, make questionable decisions.
Yeah, or just punch somebody in the face, preferably the child, apparently. After you've pooped on him. I don't know.
Jesus.
That's going to sit for a while. That's going to require continued pondering on my part.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you for coming on this adventure of What's the Hell. We really appreciate you listening. And there are a lot of these What the Hell episodes now. It is a segment we used to do on the show just as like one story at the end of the show back in the day. And now we're doing full episodes of them and we're enjoying it. I am hoping to get the old What the Hells that we did from the early seasons and sort of re-edit them and fix the sound and release.
We have some fun ones.
Release them as archival footage.
For sure.
Thank you so much for listening. This has been an episode of Terror Talk. My name is Shannon.
And I'm Kathy. Sleep safe, everyone.